We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Zach Gelb here with you, filling in for Maggie and Perloff on this beautiful Tuesday from our New York City studios. And we're waiting on KJ Osborne from the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings are one of those teams that are very intriguing to me this year in the NFL because the NFC Super Bowl teams, in my opinion, obviously the Rams, Tampa Bay, still the Green Bay Packers. But after that, you have teams that have playoff expectations, but there's a difference from playoff expectations to Super Bowl expectations. And you go through that list, the Cowboys, the Eagles, they could tell you, oh, we have Super Bowl expectations. Do you really believe that? Not so much. And there's a bunch of other teams around the league that are in a similar boat as well. So let's head out to the guest line. And now joining us is KJ Osborne from the Minnesota Vikings. Last year had a very successful season, 50 receptions, 655 yards, and 7 touchdowns. And that role is only going to increase this year with the new head football coach in Kevin O'Connell. KJ, appreciate the time. How you been, my man?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It was awesome to meet you at the Super Bowl. And here we are a few months later, chatting it up on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. For you, when you look back, and I know you're getting ready for this next season that's going to kick off in September, but from an individual standpoint, how do you look back at what you accomplished last year?
I think I did a good job, man. Coming in, you know, with the COVID year and everything, my rookie year, and it wasn't really what I wanted it to be. You know, I worked my butt off in the off season, and I was able to come back and, you know, have some success. You know, I didn't play a snap of offense my rookie year. Came back my second year, and I was able to do some good things. But, you know, like you said, you know, that's kind of behind me now. So now I'm looking to do, you know, even bigger and better things.
What did you work on the most this off season as we get set for the new football year?
One of the things I worked on was just like the in-game situations. You know, like not just like so much routes, like, you know, on air, but just kind of the between the routes, the, you know, the hand fighting, things like that, like the small things that can create separation at the top of routes. I've really been working on using my hands and running through the football, because one of my main goals this year was, you know, I want to be a big play receiver. I want to be able to create yak, you know, those yards after catch. And I felt like for me, like, one of the ways I can increase doing that is catching the ball with my hands and running through the football to, you know, continue to create that separation and make the defender chase me. So this is some of the things I've been working on, you know, just some of the details and in-depth things in my game.
KJ Osborne here with us, Zach Gelbin for Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio. Your wide receiving room is so stacked when obviously we mentioned Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. Even though you and Justin are very similar in age, what do you kind of learn from having two just ultimate studs on your football team in that locker room, in that positional group room, in Adam Thielen and also Justin Jefferson?
I mean, I've learned a lot, man, just by, you know, just being in a room with all of us. You know, we're able to learn so much. You know, obviously Adam being the best, I think we're going on year 10 now. So, you know, he's seen a lot of football. He played a lot of football. And then Justin, you know, coming in with me, you know, but the success he's had, you know, we're just able to talk, man. I'm blessed to be able to see it every day at practice. You know, being able to play with two great receivers. So, you know, they teach me a lot. You know, we learn, and you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, developing my, you know, kind of my own game, what my path is. So, I'm excited for it. I'm blessed to, you know, be in a room with those two guys, and we have an awesome coach, and Coach McCardell, you know, at the leader of our room. So, it's great.
What is your own path? How do you envision the rest of your career going out for you individually?
Man, I mean, obviously, just being as successful as possible, man. You know, I feel like I'm still kind of defining that. You know, last year, like, you know, that was my first time, you know, on the field on offense, you know, in the NFL. So, you know, I feel like that a lot of that is going to be defined. You know, just how can I be consistent? You know, over these next couple of years, you know, what type of player am I? You know, and I feel like throughout my career, you know, just even in like high school and college, you know, I've always prided myself on knowing all the positions. You know, I can. You know, catch a deep ball, like, you know, against the Steelers, or I can catch something, you know, over the middle. I can be a third down guy. I can be, you know, whatever the team kind of needs me to be, you know, inside receiver, outside receiver. But I kind of like to be all around, and just all around, just a playmaker, man, and an X factor. I want to be able to make big plays for my team, and I want to help this team win.
KJ Osborne from the Vikings here with us. It seems like you're just starting to scratch the surface. Would you be open, and I know this is a copycat league and one team does something, every other team tries to emulate it, would you be open to maybe having that Deebo Samuel kind of role? I know you're not the number one wide receiver of this team, but what I mean by that, also running the football in 2022.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't mind that at all, man. I'm a bigger body guy. I'm like about like 205. Deebo's a little more than me. We train together in the offseason sometimes, But I wouldn't mind that at all, man. I've heard people, you know, throwing that stuff out there. But again, man, whatever the team needs me to do to help win, I feel like, you know, by me knowing the offense, you know, and being able to play, you know, a lot of different positions, you know, it helps KO, you know, be able to move us around and do a lot of different things.
When all this stuff was going on with Deebo Samuel, you said you worked out with him this offseason. You'd all say to him, Minnesota's nice. So look at what we have on offense. Try to make your pitch to go get him there to already add to an incredible receiving room?
No, man. You know, that dude, he probably has so many people, you know, in his ear. You know, we know how that stuff goes. Or, you know, he's going to do what's best for him and his family, his situation. Rather he stay there, or, you know, rather, you know, wherever he's at, you know, I just want the best for him. But, you know, he probably already gets enough of that. So wherever he can go, you know, hopefully he get paid as he deserves. And, continue to be successful.
Did he open up at all to you about what he was going through? Because a lot of that was uncertain. We were hearing things, but we never really got confirmation of what he wanted.
I would say, you know, as players, you know, that's what I like about the offseason. You know, we can all get together. You know, we all can have our conversations, you know, and talk and things like that. So I think that's one of the great things about just being in the NFL, just being able to talk. You know, everybody has different situations. You know, we all are on the same boat, you know, going through the same thing, you know, this journey in the NFL, you know, however this short time of our lives. So I think that's it's a good time for us to talk, you know, give each other advice and things like that. So, you know, we talk not in depth, you know, we're cool, but, you know, not too much business, but, you know, we're all able to talk, so it's cool.
KJ Osborne here with us. Tell me about your new head football coach and Kevin O'Connell. We know a very young, bright offensive mind. Give me the player perspective of what you learned so far from coach and how you kind of view him.
Man, we love him, man. We love him in Minnesota. We're so excited to have him. You know, it's a new energy in the building. You know, he brings his excitement, and, you know, he's in the offensive meeting room, you know, just teaching us this offense. And, you know, we've seen the success they were able to have in L.A. We're looking to bring that in Minnesota, you know, do what we do with it, with the guys that we have and the playmakers that we have. Like I said, we're super excited about it. You know, we're glad to have him in the building. I can't wait to see, you know, I can't wait to report for training camp to put in more.
Obviously, Mike Zimmer was a defensive-minded coach. Kevin O'Connell is an offensive-minded coach. Other than that, what do you think the biggest difference is so far from Coach Zimmer to Coach O'Connell?
I mean, well, everybody has their differences. You know, obviously, we're all just different people, you know. But, I mean, I guess that can be the biggest thing. You know, Coach O'Connell is an offensive guy, and Coach Zim was a defensive guy. So, I mean, that's just a difference in that, which is all coaches are you know, have their differences. That's what makes, you know, each and every one of them special.
KJ Osborne, you know this. The last 3 years, the Green Bay Packers have been a great team inside that NFC North, back-to-back-to-back 13-win seasons, and also back-to-back-to-back NFC North crowns. What do you say to someone like myself that already just assumes that Green Bay is going to win the division with you guys, in my opinion, being the second best team in the NFC North?
Get your popcorn ready.
So you think this team's going to win the division this year is what you're telling me?
Man, I feel like I've said it in interviews before, man, I feel like every team's goal in the NFL should be to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I feel like that's the only thing that we train for. You work so hard, you sacrifice so much, and to every team should only want one goal. So, you know, in the path of that is, you know, whoever we play. You know, obviously we want to try to win every game. That's every team should try to win every game. But you know what we talk about in our locker room, you know, that's a long time away. So what we're gonna do is, you know, take it a day at a time. You know, each meeting we're gonna report to training camp, and you know when those times come, and also we can be ready for those big games, they'll be there. But you know, for right now, we can just kind of, you know, we can't control the future, so we've got to just be where our feet are, you know, just take it a day at a time. But again, at the end of the day, every team's goal should be to win the Super Bowl.
And I like your team. I think you guys got a good team. Justin Jefferson's one of the better younger players in this league, one of the better players in the league, period. We talked about Thielen and Cook, Alexander Mattison, yourself. You tell me, though, why you believe Kirk Cousins is the guy for this team and you guys can win a Super Bowl this year with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback.
Oh, man, yeah, Kirk's our guy, man. I feel like he gets sometimes people give him a bad rap, and I don't know why that is, but, you know, we love him in our locker room. You know, he's a leader, you know, on and off the field, man. The guy, he's an awesome dude, and he's an awesome quarterback, man. He's just very, very accurate. You know, it's I'm happy I got a chance to, you know, be on the field with him last year. You know, now going into off season, this is my first true whole off season. Going into my third year, you know, we were going to have some extra meetings and, you know, some extra throwing sessions and things like that to be able to talk and communicate and be on the same page, you know, see what he's thinking, and he sees what us receivers are thinking. So I feel like we're on the same page, and that's going to, you know, even help us even more for the season. So I feel like Kurt is ready. He's locked in. He looked great, so, you know, I'm excited.
KJ Osborne, before we let you run, you've said this a few times now, that this is the most comfortable you are going into a season. This is the most time that you really have had. And just knowing what the world is kind of like as we try to inch closer and closer to back to a normal state of living, what do you kind of expect for yourself, though, individually? We talked about the team goal, and every team has the goal, or you want to have the goal to have a Super Bowl championship this year. But how about yourself individually? What can people expect out of KJ Osborne this year?
I mean, I think they can expect, like you said, an increased role. You know, we're looking probably to have a lot of 11 personnel on the field, you know, in this type of offense. So, you know, just more, man. I expect so much out of myself. You know, I have goals all written down in my mirror. But, you know, I just want to be an exciting player and a player that can, you know, help this offense. You know, we have Adam Thielen and we have Justin Jefferson. You know, I want to really be that third piece, you know, so we can really get, you know, talking about this trio that we have in Minnesota, and we have Irv back, we have Dalvin. I mean, we have so many weapons on our offense. You know, I just want to be another, you know, big play threat to you know, help KO make play calls easier for him, and, you know, make things tough on defenses, make Kirk's job easier, and at the end of the day, just help my team win, man. Whatever I can do to help my team win, I just want to be a big playmaker, man, and you know, make those big plays for our team just to help us win.
You know this, there was a lot of movement this offseason, especially at your position, and no bigger trade receiving-wise. Maybe Tyreek Hill, but I think Davante Adams was the biggest receiving move this offseason. Get him out of your division? What was that first thought when you found out that Davante Adams was getting traded from the Green Bay Packers and going to the Raiders?
Man, it was just, like, surprising and just wild. You know, they were, you know, him and Aaron Rodgers was doing up there in Green Bay was, you know, they were very, very dominant. So, you know, for that kind of duo to break up, you know, I was just as shocked as, you know, everyone else. You know, I tell people, I'm in the NFL, but I'm also a football fan. So, you know, I've been watching Devontae for a long time, man. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, him go in to the Raiders and, you know, how that Green Bay team looks up there. But I was surprised as well, and, you know, happy our defense don't have to play him two times a year.
No doubt about that. KJ Osborne going to have a big year this year for the Minnesota Vikings. Always appreciate your time when you join us here on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network.
Of course, man. Thank you.
No problem. There's KJ Osborne. Got a chance to meet him at the Super Bowl this past year on Radio Row. We've stayed in contact and kind enough from his part, and appreciate him you know, wanting to come on today and spend a few moments with us on Maggie and Perloff. I got to go around the room real quickly here. So we'll incorporate Samter, we'll incorporate Stu. I'm saying Green Bay's winning that division. Now that's not, ooh, ah, what a take. Uh-oh, here comes the big bad fill-in host with a big bold take. I look at Green Bay, even without their receiving core having Davante Adams, you still got Aaron Rodgers. He was a back-to-back MVP. I know he doesn't play great in the postseason. until someone beats Green Bay, I'm going to fully expect Green Bay to win the division. So I said to him, basically, what do you say to someone like myself that thinks Green Bay is just going to win the division for a fourth straight year? He said, get your popcorn ready. Should we be giving the Vikings a little bit more of a thought to win this division this year? I'll start with Samter. You can forget about the other two teams in the NFC North. He couldn't even sell me if he was on the Bears or the Lions and any of us actually take him seriously. But the Vikings are the second best team in the NFC North. Samter, go ahead.
So not only do I not think that there's any chance that the Vikings can even come close to contending with the Packers, I honestly think that it's going to be a lot closer with the Bears and Lions than you're probably making it out to
be. Stop it. What are you talking about?
Dude,
I'm telling you right now.
First of all, the Bears finished
The Bears are horrible.
They finished two games behind the Vikings last year with their rookie quarterback who was put in a situation that he couldn't
Allen
do
Robinson.
Anything. So Mooney's going to be fine. Allen Robinson was always hurt. How many games did Robinson play the last 3 years?
But when has Allen Robinson ever had a good quarterback?
He's been hurt. So my point is the Bears, listen, they're devoid of talent in a lot of different areas. But if Justin Fields takes a step forward, they're going to be as good or better than their 6-11 team last year, at least equally as good. And the Vikings at 8-9 last year, they're not a very good team. They're really just not.
Wait. I'm not saying the Vikings are the Super Bowl contender. I'm not even saying the Vikings are a lock to make the playoffs. They should make the playoffs when you have the weapons that they have on the offensive side of the ball.
Sure, but they still have Kirk Cousins.
Now, you cannot sell me on the Lions. I know the Lions play tough.
The Lions will win like five games or something, but the Lions are going to be better and they're going to be interesting. I'm telling you, they're going to be. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a baller. Okuda is healthy. I don't like Goff, but the offense
Goff
is actually
stinks.
Looking nicer, right? They got Jameson Williams once he gets healthy.
St. Brown.
Yeah. I mean, listen, not this year, but give it like 2-3 years and find a quarterback.
Okay, but
the
that's
Lions
not
are
the
gonna
question.
Be good.
The question. That's what Lions fans have been saying for the last 20 years.
I disagree. Lions fans have never said
that. 2-3 years from now, we're going to be good. That's
Lions
the
fans
Jet
have never
fan
said
in
that.
You. That
never.
Is the Jet fan in
Lions
you.
Lions fans
oh,
every
we have
year are like, God,
two, three
we suck
years
again.
From now. With Schwartz, they had some good moments. Caldwell, they had some good moments.
Yeah, like a decade ago.
No, but the question was in 2-3 years from now. You think the Bears and the Lions are going to maybe contend one of those two teams for the second spot in this NFC North?
100%.
Man.
I am not a believer in the Vikings. Not at all.
Okay, there's one thing not to be a believer in the Vikings. You tell me the Vikings are going to miss the playoffs. Okay.
They were 8-9 last year, and they've done nothing to get better. I've seen nothing that they've done to get better. So at 8-9, every other team, the Bears, I think, have gotten better, and the Lions, I think, have gotten better. The Packers have gotten worse a little bit, but not by much.
They still have Rodgers.
Yeah, the Packers are going to win the division with 12, 11 wins, whatever. The Vikings will have
but the
seven
biggest
or
difference
eight wins,
for the Vikings.
And the Bears and Lions will have somewhere between 5 and 7 wins.
Samter, here's what you're missing, though. Kevin O'Connell, who I don't know how he's going to be as a head football coach, but you heard it from KJ Osborne, new energy, an offensive-minded coach. I like Mike Zimmer, but that message got stale. And that could be a big bolt and a big jolt to that team, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I got to get to Stu because, Samter, I love you, but I can't be hearing you being the biggest cheerleader for the Bears and for the Lions. Oh, jeez. I can't listen to that. Stu, what do you think about the Vikings? Should we give them a little bit more of a thought to contend for the NFC North crown this year?
I'd be stunned if they win the division. I think that's the Packers, but I'd also be stunned if they finish lower than the Lions or Bears.
And that's where they kind of are. They're in a spot right now where they miss make the playoffs, and they don't have Super Bowl expectations. But you look at that offensive firepower that they have, Cook, Thielen, Justin Jefferson. Now, Kirk Cousins is not horrible. He's not great. He's good. You know, he's a top 15 quarterback in this league, sometimes looks like a top 10 quarterback. He's probably anywhere from 11 to like 14, somewhere in that range. But in this league, offense sells. And I could see them putting up a really good offensive performance in an NFC where these wildcard teams are not going to be anything special. Well, we said it earlier, the three Super Bowl contenders in the NFC, Rams, Buccaneers, and then who? The Packers. And the Packers, you don't even feel great about this year. But I'm still with you guys that the Packers will win this division. I'm with Stu that the Vikings will finish in second. And surprise, surprise, Samter and yours truly, we disagree. How about that? Zach Gelbin for Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio. I feel like whoever sits in this chair, whether it's Maggie or Perloff, depending on where they sit, they're just paid to disagree with Samter. That's what I think it comes down to. CBS Sports Radio, where we disagree with Samter. Coming on back, it's Maggie and Perloff. Zach Gelb here with you. And when we do return, let's look at some new coaches this year. We had 10 coaching changes in the NFL. How many of those teams have playoff expectations? I know one coach that has no playoff expectations. You ask Samter, and that's Kevin O'Connell. But we'll discuss on the other side.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Tuesday edition, Maggie and Perloff right here on CBS Sports Radio. Zach Gelb filling in all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, when the Zach Gelb Show comes your way on CBS Sports Radio. I will not be hosting today. There has been times I've done 7-8 hour shows here. Today's not one of those days. 3 hours for Zach Gelb, and then we say goodbye at 6 p.m. Eastern. Maybe I could lie to everyone right now and say how I'm going to buy Stu and Samter dinner afterwards, but that's probably not going to happen. Like, Samter doesn't want to deal with me after 6 p.m. Eastern, and Stu, he's probably got better things to do.
I don't want to deal with you before 6 p.m. Eastern.
Whoa! Look at that!
Go Bears!
Usually, I would be in this spot where you come in as the fill-in, and the producer likes to roll out the red carpet for you, treat you well, right? They have a lot of writers to do this show, so what they end up doing is they get me a nice bottle of champagne in the green room. They get me some chocolate. They do all that stuff, a charcuterie board so we could enjoy ourselves after the show. Now Samter's not getting invited. It's not going to be the first party you don't get invited to, Samter. And I'll just invite Stu, and Stu and I will have a powwow after the show.
Crashing.
Oh, my God. Look at Samter. Man. Hey, what did you not have a good 4th of July?
The Bears. The Bears.
See, Samter's now going to be
Bears.
Sensitive Samter. You and Kevin Durant have something in common. You're both extremely sensitive when people disagree with you.
I'm starting a burner account right now, and I'm just going to troll you all day long.
Gelb sucks 4673 times 10 on Twitter. And you'll have a dog in your profile picture. What'd you guys do for 4th of July, by the way? I went to Colorado. I had a very good time. I was ATVing. I went hiking. I enjoyed myself, ate a ton of great food, a lot of Mexican food. I had a good time in Colorado. How about yourself? You must have had a miserable 4th of July, because I usually work with you. We have a great relationship. You're in a bad mood today for some reason.
I'm in a great mood. This is my first weekend of like doing nothing. We kind of just sat around. I did some like errands around the house, and then I live right near the East River, so I can see the fireworks from my rooftop.
Oh, very nice.
So I just went to the roof and watched the fireworks with, you know, the fam and the pup. It was great.
Now, you do have a cute dog. Early stages of the pandemic, a lot of dog content.
It makes up for the rest of what's going on here for myself, so that's all right.
How about you, Stu? What'd you do for 4th of July?
I went to Jersey City, saw the fireworks there. Flo Rida performed. Shaq performed. It was a good time.
Who performed?
Shaq and Flo Rida. Shaq did a little DJ set.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shaq does does a bunch of DJing. So it was Shaq and Flo Rida.
Yes.
Oh, that was probably awesome.
It was fun. It was a very good time. A lot of people there. They say 200,000.
Wow. You had 200,000 people?
So they say. The streets were covered, Jersey City.
Are you being serious?
That's what they claim.
Because you kind of had a grin on your face that you don't believe 200,000 people.
I mean, it's hard to tell, but all the streets were pretty jam-packed, so I guess I could believe it, but
okay.
There's a lot of people, I'll just say that.
So you question the results of the reporting is what you're saying.
Maybe it's 100-something. We'll see. I don't know.
Gotcha. All right, Zach Gelb here for Maggie and Perloff. Real quickly, let's go through this. We just had KJ Osborne on, and he said, get your popcorn ready, when I said I don't believe that the Green Bay Packers are not going to win that division in the NFC North. You're on the Vikings. What do you have to say to that? And he said, get your popcorn ready. And he believes in that team. So you look at the Vikings. We talked about the Vikings. We talked about how obviously they're a group that they have a lot of offensive talent, but you never know what to expect out of them. And then whenever they usually have big expectations, they come up short. Now they have a new head coach in Kevin O'Connell. I will group Kevin O'Connell in the side of that's a team that should have playoff expectations this year when you look at the 10 new head coaches in the NFL. Let me just run through the four guys that we won't even have a conversation about. Lovie Smith with the Texans, no shot. Matt Eberflus, sorry, Samter, no shot for the Bears. Doug Peterson, I love Dougie P. No way in year number one is he taking Trevor Lawrence to the playoffs. And Brian Daboll, I like the regime, Daboll and Shane. The Giants are years away. I don't believe in Daniel Jones. And there's three teams that are better in that division. Definitely the Eagles, definitely the Cowboys. And I do think the Commanders have a better roster than the Giants. And that's really saying something, because if you listen to me on my 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time show, you know I can't stand Carson Wentz. So just the race, Lovie Smith, Matt Eberflus, Doug Peterson, and then also Brian Daboll for making the playoffs this year. But think about that. We've had 10 head coaching changes, and I'm going to give you six guys that have legit playoff expectations. We talked about Kevin O'Connell. You should be able to snag one of those three wild card spots. Yeah, I don't think they win the division. I've made that clear. But who are your wild card contenders in the NFC? Whoever loses the NFC East, the North, that's the Vikings, the Saints in the South. If the Panthers maybe go make a move for Baker Mayfield, you give them some thought, but I'm not ready to put them in that group. And then you look at the NFC West, Rams should win that division. After that, though, Seahawks are going to take a massive step back. They don't have Russell Wilson. Then you look at the 49ers. We don't know what to expect from Trent. And you go through the Cardinals. They're going to be without DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games. So I look at the NFC and the wild card teams as this is pretty much almost anyone's game. So I will put both Kevin O'Connell and Dennis Allen, maybe more so because, and they both have good offenses. Like you look at the Saints, we got to see what happens with the Alvin Kamara situation. You have Michael Thomas coming back, we think, for the first time in 2 years. Chris Olave, you added Jarvis Landry. There's pieces on that offensive side of the ball, just like the Vikings. So Dennis Allen and Kevin O'Connell, their teams, if you put them in the AFC, we wouldn't be picking them to go to the playoffs, but because they play in the NFC, they should be the second best team in the North and the South in the NFC, and they have an opportunity to go make the playoffs. The other four on this list, Nathaniel Hackett, clear playoff expectations. That was a team that had seven wins last year. They go added Russell Wilson. Josh McDaniels is definitely someone that should be viewed as a coach that should make the playoffs last year. He's taking over a team that made the playoffs last year when they had to deal with terrible things like Henry Ruggs and Gruden and Damon Arnett. There were so many distractions last year. And oh yeah, you got better. You have Waller again. You have Renfro again. And then you went out and you added good defensive players, one of them being Chandler Jones. And you also added the best wide receiver in the league in Davante Adams. That team should be better. The only reason they wouldn't make the playoffs is because they play in a brutal division. I mean that in a good way. The AFC West, it's the best division in football. Todd Bowles, obviously not just playoff expectations, Super Bowl expectations. And for Mike McDaniel, I don't think the Dolphins will make the playoffs. But the Dolphins have playoff expectations. They've been close, and they got better this offseason, even though they got rid of Brian Flores, which I thought was a terrible move. But there was more to it, obviously. You look, though, at that offense now. They enhance the line. They're going to have a commitment to running the football. Finally, a coach that will embrace the quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. And oh yeah, by the way, you added in Tyreek Hill. When I look at those six coaches, O'Connell, McDaniel, then McDaniels, Hackett, Allen, and Bowles, how many of those six will make the playoffs just for this upcoming year? I'm going to say, if I put the over-under at 3.5, you're going to take the over or you're going to take the under? I'll start with Sue. Stu. Out of the first-year head coaches here, that's 10. 3.5 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, that's tough. I would probably say the under, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I don't see both AFC West, the Broncos and Raiders.
So you like the Chargers and Chiefs better?
Yeah, probably.
Because probably three teams make the playoffs from the AFC West.
You would think.
And I'll give you a little bit of a take. I kind of started like the Raiders more as that third team and the Broncos as the fourth team. Which shows you how great that AFC West can be if the Broncos are finishing in last place when they just added a top 10 quarterback, top 8 quarterback in the league in Russell Wilson. Samter, you going over or under here 3.5 for first-year head coaches to make the playoffs this year? We have 10.
I'm going way under. I see the Raiders,
wow.
And I think the Raiders are the only team of these that I can see making the playoffs.
Well, the Bucs, obviously.
And the Bucs. I'm sorry, yes. Saints, maybe.
Giants, Jameis is
no
a big
way.
Question mark.
Bears, no way. Broncos, I don't think, are making it. Dolphins are not making it in that conference. Vikings, no way. Jags, no way. Texans, no. I'm going three at the most, but probably two.
I think four are going to get in. Vikings and Saints, because of the product of the NFC. I'm all over, obviously, the Buccaneers. And then you have a decision to make, Josh McDaniels or Nathaniel Hackett. I'll go Josh McDaniels, and that will give me four. But it would not shock me if both McDaniels and Hackett both make the playoffs. And then you kind of look at that list. Bowles is a lock, so that's three, and then you just need one more after that. So I'm going to go four here. I'll go with the two second-place teams in the North and the South, the Vikings and the Saints, and then I'll go with Bowles, and then I'll go with the Raiders over the Broncos.
So there's seven teams that make it from each conference, correct?
Yes.
So there are seven teams in the NFC, right? Let's go through Packers, Bucks, Rams, 49ers probably seem like...
Well, hold on. I cannot count the 49ers as a lock. We don't know what Trey Lance is going to be.
So we have those first three locks. Cardinals, potentially, if Kyler Murray's healthy. 49ers. So you're telling me that you... So that's five right there. Saints is six. Vikings, seven. Cowboys and Eagles, Washington, 8, 9, 10. So you're telling me that you think the Vikings and the Saints will do better than the Eagles, Washington, Cardinals,
49ers?
That's
not necessarily what I said. This is I'll lay out the seven teams right now. NFC East, I'll take the Philadelphia Eagles. NFC North, I'll go with the Green Bay Packers. The NFC South, Tampa Bay. The NFC West, I'll go with the Rams. Then, those three wild card teams, I'm telling you, the Vikings and the Saints. And then it comes down to probably either the Cowboys or the Cardinals. You look at this, we have a lot of teams that make the playoffs one year, then miss the playoffs the next year, and guys that don't make the playoffs one year, then make the playoffs the next year.
100%.
So I'm going to go four of those coaches in year number one out of the 10. I will say at least four are going to make the playoffs. I don't think we get much higher than four, but I could see four or five potentially making it. And we'll see how this thing does shape out. How about you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. El Capitan, Marco Belletti is here. Now, Marla Donahue says hello, by the way, from the TV side. She wanted me to pass along this message, and she goes, can you explain El Capitan? So a lot of people here around CBS Sports Radio, Mraz is the guy that thinks he's the locker room leader. I'm not saying Mraz lost the locker room, but Marco is more of that fatherly figure around here. That's my nice way of saying you're a little bit older.
Yeah, old.
But you always give good life advice. Like you are the guy. If there was a therapist here at CBS Sports Radio, I think you would be the best therapist because you would be fair, you would be listen, but then you would also give some constructive criticism, which I never think is a bad thing.
Okay. I don't really know how to respond to that. Like, what do you want me to say? Like,
you're the captain of CBS Sports Radio. You're now here full time and you're the captain.
Well, all right. I mean, like I said, if you're going to put me in the box with Mraz, I mean, if you're going to scream that I am the leader, you're not the leader. So that's the way I look at it in that regard.
Wow. So you're taking a shot at Mraz saying he says he's the leader. Marco just leads by example.
Again, I am not telling you anything about me. I usually the guy that's screaming, I'm the leader, usually isn't the guy you follow.
Yeah, and I'm going to chime in here.
Wow,
I'm going to chime in here. If Mraz is claiming that he is a leader, I'm not following him into anywhere.
Wait.
I follow him into a bakery.
Even though Mraz sometimes... That's a good line. Very good line, actually. I think sometimes we get annoyed with Mraz's takes. But I will say, in terms of taking some of the younger people here underneath their wing... A lot of people get along with Mraz at CBS Sports Radio until he burns them on the
air. He's very popular, but he's not a leader.
So Santer is not following the lead of one Mraz, is what you're saying.
The dude thought that Egypt and Brazil were in the same continent and that people in Brazil spoke Egypt because they bordered each other.
They don't have to necessarily be smart to be a leader.
I am not following the guy anywhere.
Now, Mraz is filling in on Friday, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, that's going to be a doozy.
Love the dude.
Samter and Mraz.
Love the dude. Big fan of his. He's super nice. He's likable. But if I had to lead anybody anywhere, I'm taking Marco Belletti over Mraz any day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Well, that's why I call him El Capitan. Now we need little TMZ-style reporting here. We need, I don't know, find someone in the newsroom like Jack Stern or someone running around to then go over to Mraz's house and say, hey, big appearance coming up on Friday. You're filling in for Perloff on Maggie and Perloff. Samter just trashed you on national radio and television. How do you respond? He said you're not a leader. I would love to hear what Mraz has to say on that one.
Well, bring it.
Wow. This is going to be contentious. Samter and Mraz, that's going to be David up against Goliath coming up on Friday right here on CBS Sports Radio. Boy. I already hear management right now. We're going to need to have like a bodyguard in between the middle of Samter and Mraz. That's going to be a big-time fight. You guys are going to get into it.
He's got 200 pounds on me. I think he's going to win that one.
Yeah. It's like the revolting blob in the Sandler movie. He would just squash you.
Did Samter say anything that was wrong, though? I mean, everything he said was spot on. Like, honestly, I think if you got Mraz in an honest moment, he would know all this.
Nah, he says he's the leader here at CBS Sports Radio.
No, that's nonsense, and he knows that.
And again, I anointed you the leader.
Do we like the guy? Yeah. Do we love the guy? Yeah, it's playful. Of course it is. But
so good guy in the locker room, but not the leader of the clubhouse.
He's more of the class clown than he is the leader. I mean, let's be fair. Am I saying anything that's... I mean, this is obvious.
I disagree.
He's the guy playing the pranks in the dugout. He's doing the hot foot.
Yeah,
and then he's wearing the goofy hat and like Turk Wendell jumping over the line.
He's gotten me a lot of free meals at Bob's by the Bay, his outdoor bar.
And everybody loves the class clown. Do you follow the class clown? No.
Make some good points.
I think that's fair, no? I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Wow. We're opening up Pandora's box here at CBS Sports Radio. You know, people get sensitive here. There's going to be a lot of fighting words all throughout the rest of the week. Oh, look at what we're stirring up here. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. Joey Chestnut, man, he prevailed. What a story that was yesterday. Zion gets paid and Jeannie Buss with a very interesting tweet last night. Let's get to El Capitan, Marco Belletti. Zach Gilb here for Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk some Pelicans. We'll talk KD. We'll go around the landscape of the association in the NBA with Antonio Daniels coming up at the top of the hour. I have to talk a little bit right now, just for a second, about Joey Chestnut. Because I don't know about you guys, Stu and Santer. Are you big-time fans of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest on July 4th? Yes or no?
Not really, to be honest.
I was until Joey Chestnut started dominating. Now it's just like 15 out of 16 years. It's just too much. I need diversity. I want to see competition. He beats everybody too badly, so I'm not interested anymore.
So I'm usually just not interested. I don't need to see a bunch of guys or girls just devour hot dogs in a gross fashion and dip the bun in the water. It just never did it for me. But I'm someone that respects greatness. And I respect, I guess you could call him a great competitor. I'm not going to call him an athlete. But I like greatness. And I saw him the other day. And I thought this was going to be insufferable. I thought the coverage was going to be ridiculous when I saw him get off the bus or however he walked in. And he was on crutches because he has a tendon problem. So you see him in a boot. He's on crutches. And he's walking on in, or I guess crutching on in. And I go, wow, this is going to be insufferable. Then you see during the hot dog eating contest, while he's devouring 63 hot dogs, which is not his personal best, but still very impressive, there was a protester, and not only did the security get the protester off the stage, he put the protester in a chokehold. So this guy is plain hurt. He's trying to eat some hot dogs, has to put a chokehold on a protester, and he still ate 63 hot dogs. 63! Which, by the way, I don't know if you guys know the answer to this. Do you know how many more hot dogs he consumed than the second place finisher? You want to take a guess? 63 was the top dog this year, the 15-time champion in Joey Chestnut, the hot dog eating goat. Man, those are the words that I just said on national radio and national television. And also, he was eating hurt, which I think all of us have done in our life, but this guy had some injury. When I go out there and evaluate this, and you had to take a guess, who was the second place finisher? Just how many hot dogs fewer than Joey Chestnut? What would your guess be there, Stu?
I'd say like 5 or 6.
Okay, fair guess. I think very reasonable. If Joey Chestnut is devouring 63 hot dogs, 5 or 6 fewer, second place against the best of the best makes sense. Santer?
I'll go 15-ish, somewhere in the high 40s, low 50s.
Closer. 20 hot dogs fewer than what Joey Chestnut did. So think about all that. Second place ate 43 hot dogs, if my math is right. And if it's wrong, that's right, 63 minus 20. And if it's wrong, I only took one math class at Temple University. Shout out the Owls, TU baby, let's go. Go Owls. But the second place finisher only ate 43 hot dogs. You look at the field, how great is the field? 43 is second place. I know Joey Chestnut is the creme de la creme hot dog eater, but he had to deal with the protester, a banged up leg, and he's crutching on in there and he still enjoys, or I don't know if you enjoy, 63 hot dogs? That's pretty damn impressive. So I have to respect Joey Chestnut now And I have to acknowledge the greatness that we got to see from Joey Chestnut yesterday. That's one of those moments. I don't want to say it's like the shot. I don't want to say it's like the drive. But it's one of those moments that if you were on Twitter yesterday, you saw two things. Fireworks and hot dogs. That's what you saw on Twitter yesterday. Fireworks and hot dogs. Joey Chestnut still dominated. My question is, when does he get out of prime shape? When does someone actually challenge him? I am not someone that pays close attention to the hot dog eating contest, but this guy had every excuse this year, from the injury to the protester, and he still found a way to be 20 hot dogs better than everybody else. It gives hope to all of us. Think about it. It gives hope to all of us that Joey Chestnut is a huge deal, a big time deal. 63 hot dogs. That's a moment that you remember. That is a moment. That's a top 10 sports moment. No, I'm just playing with you. I also saw something else on Twitter yesterday. Now, this really caught my eye. And this is one that I go, I don't know how to interpret it. There's only two ways to interpret it. I don't know which one is right and which one is wrong. So this is Jeannie Buss, the owner of the Lakers. She tweeted out last night on 4th of July at 2:11 a.m. Eastern time. I miss KB, talking about Kobe Bryant. He would understand and explain everything that I'm not allowed to. Honestly, he was the greatest Laker ever. He understood team over self, meaning your rewards would come if you value team goals over your own, then everything would fall into place. All can reply. This, to me, is either two things. One, Jeannie Buss, and I don't think anyone would falter for saying this or thinking this way, just misses Kobe Bryant. I think we all miss Kobe Bryant to some extent. So that could just be a moment of reflection, and that's what happened with Jeannie Buss. Or this could be a direct shot at LeBron James. Because you go through that tweet, and you see the words, he understood team over self. Is that a shot at LeBron James? Because right now, the Lakers have basically handed over their franchise to LeBron. Yes, they won a championship. This past year, they didn't even make the playoffs when LeBron wanted Russell Westbrook there. Now, no one really else wants Russell Westbrook. Anthony Davis, he gets hurt all the time. Charles Barkley calls him street clothes. So I'm wondering, is this a shot at LeBron? And maybe I'm wrong on this one, but I just don't think the owner of the Lakers, as LeBron James's contract is coming up, would take a shot at LeBron James. It just doesn't make sense to me. So, Stu, real quickly, I know we only have a minute. You're a big-time Lakers fan. You think this was just more so Jeannie missing Kobe Bryant or taking a shot at LeBron?
I think it was more of a Kobe tweet, to be honest.
That's what I think so as well. And obviously, we all understand the impact of Kobe Bryant. We all understand how great of a basketball player Kobe Bryant was. To hear that from a Lakers fan, and I know we all miss Kobe, but Lakers fans, more than anyone, miss Kobe Bryant the most, obviously his family before then. But I kind of am in agreement with you that if I had to pick one, was this a shot at LeBron or was this more so, I just miss Kobe, it's a time of reflection? I think it was more so, I just miss Kobe, it's a time of reflection. But you know how that's going to get twisted. Antonio Daniels joins us next. Zach Gelbin for Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.